At the top of our show, Michigan's catalog of administrative rules, thousands of which help regulate safety and professional standards in industries across the state, has gotten thinner lately. The Michigan Office of Regulatory Reinvention, formed 2 years ago by the Snyder administration, has been reevaluating the rules with an eye toward eliminating red tape and invigorating the private sector. On Wednesday, the office announced that more than 1,500 such rules have been scrubbed after being reviewed by committees of stakeholders. MLive's Melissa Anders has been keeping an eye on the process and has filed several stories on it recently, and Melissa's here to tell us more. Nice to see you.
Good to see you, too.
1,500 rules and regulations sounds like a lot, is it?
I think it's significant. The office said that through their process of these advisory committees and such, they've looked at more than 19,000 rules. And after looking at 19,000 rules, they came up with about 1,900 that needed to be rescinded. Well, in that process, some new ones were added, maybe replaced some old ones. So you get a net rule reduction of 1,500, which, given that, I think that sounds significant. Will everybody notice it? Will the state change dramatically? I don't think so.
I think by their very nature, some of these are pretty minuscule and probably they're unenforceable or they're barely noticeable, right?
Oh, definitely. And so in that sense, it's more of a cleaning up of the books, more so than drastically changing the way certain industries work. However, there are some examples where there may be a little bit, you know, bigger changes and in some cases controversial.
Some number of these changes are stirring little, if any, debate, but a number have been more hotly debated. And we should point out that some of these changes require legislation, not just a rule change, but the legislature needs to swing into action to undo some of these. For example, a series of bills is being considered right now that would eliminate licensing requirements in Michigan for 18 different occupations, and those occupations include dietitians and nutritionists and speech pathologists and landscape architects. It's a long list. What's this about?
So, this was one of these, it was an advisory rules committee that looked at the occupational licensing in the state. A lot of occupations require licensing, or if not an actual license, maybe they need to register with the state or have some other requirements. And so they took a look at each one and decided whether or not it was necessary. And in many cases, they decided that the licensing didn't accomplish anything, that maybe there were federal regulations or licensing that did the same thing. And so that's why the state is looking at this. Now, each one, as you said, requires legislation. So there are a host of bills making their way through the legislature right now that would make these changes.
Now, do the arguments for and against sound similar as you move from occupation to occupation? I mean, for removing the regulation and mm-hmm. against removing the reg?
In certain cases, yes. There would be, like you said, with the dietitian and nutritionist or some of these others, the arguments for eliminating it is that there's already, nationwide credentialing services, and that having it done on the statewide level doesn't quite do anything, or maybe that the state really wasn't doing much with this license. In the case of the dietitians, they haven't licensed a single dietitian since they passed the law a few years ago to start licensing them. Or in the case of some other professions, they might keep a list of the landscape architects in the state, but they don't do anything with that list.
Okay.
So that's the argument for getting rid of it. And then for several of them, the argument for getting rid of or for keeping several of them are also the same, even though they're very different occupations. And mostly that falls along the lines of, you know, the public needs to know that it's seeing a trusted professional in whatever occupation it may be. And that, they also talk about the necessary safety precautions, that knowing that these professionals, whether it's an acupuncturist or, a dietitian or a speech pathologist or or even interior designer has gone through the necessary training to serve the public.
I see another interesting wrinkle here, though, and I noticed this in the dietitian nutritionist debate, is that eliminating licensing, according to one side anyway, would keep alternative approaches more available. So if you had some kind of cutting edge alternative that some person may want to try, getting rid of the licensing may keep them on the landscape, on the commercial landscape, whereas requiring licensing might actually remove that option.
And that is the argument on that side. Whether or not that's the case, it's hard to tell. You know, the other side, and really it's the dietitians and nutritionists are who already have that national credentialing. They're the ones who want to keep it. And like you said, it's these folks who work at maybe alternative medicine places or even, you know, supplemental, you know, people who sell supplements and vitamins or offer other kind of alternative, you know, medicine offerings. They're worried that, like you said, if there's licensing requirements, that they wouldn't be able to practice. Now, the folks who are trying to get rid of those licensing requirements say that that's not the case. They say that as long as you don't call yourself a dietitian or a nutritionist, that you should be okay to continue doing those sorts of things. It gets real nitty gritty in there, and it's hard to tell at this point.
Another proposal generating a little more heat is a measure that would allow certain electrical work, forgive the pun, generating a little heat, a certain electrical work be done by personnel who are not licensed, quote, electrical contractors. What are the two sides there?
Yes, yeah, so supporters say that other regulations already ensure safety and that the licensing requirements are an unnecessary burden because this, and this is for a very specific thing, it's in certain manufacturing facilities and mining operations. Employees can work on certain electrical wiring without having that license as long as there's a licensed master electrician employed by this facility.
Okay.
So the supporters say, look, we're already, you know, covering the safety, and this is just a burdensome requirement. But a lot of the unionized electrical workers spoke out against this, saying that removing that requirement of having letting people who don't actually have that license do the work can put people at risk, right, since electrical work can sometimes be dangerous.
We're talking with Melissa Anders of MLive, talking about the work of Michigan's Office of Regulatory Reinvention. They're looking to eliminate a lot of red tape in Michigan's administrative rules. Was there anything resembling a focus to this streamlining, Melissa? I mean, particular departments that have a lot fewer regulations now?
You know, I'm not really familiar with that. I don't know. I haven't been following. You know, the Office of Regulatory Reinvention, as you mentioned, is brand new to the Snyder administration. So I'm not familiar with any sort of thing like this. I'm not saying that there hasn't been, though.
We mentioned the advisory rules committees here briefly earlier. Has anyone complained that the process was not inclusive enough regarding these panels and who sat on the panels? I mean, was industry consulted? Were the regulators, was everybody who was involved really consulted here?
So the advisory rules committees, they did include folks from the industry, folks. So in the case of the environmental one, it included people who are regulated by environmental regulations. So, you know, manufacturers are the big one there. Mm-hmm. It included environmental groups and environmental activists, and it included the actual regulators themselves, you know, staff from the state. There have, and in that case, that seemed to be quite an inclusive group, and I have not heard any complaints on that. I do know, I think it was in the liquor law advisory rules committee, there were some complaints about some people that felt they weren't fairly represented. You know, who specifically it was, there's so many stakeholders in that world of liquor regulations, the wholesalers, the retailers, the manufacturers, and and, you know, law enforcement. And I think there were some representatives, but there had been some complaints because it's such a hot topic right now that, you know, maybe certain interests weren't represented as well as they should have been.
And the liquor industry is just one industry. And really, this organization overlooked all kinds of industries and rules and regulations. You'll occasionally hear of arcane old laws that are still on the books from long ago. Did anything like that surface in this process?
Yeah, one of the rules that it's going to be eliminated in January. So until then, apparently it's still on the books, however unenforceable, that requires childcare workers in Michigan to smile.
Okay, so that one's gone by an idea whose time has come and gone. In other words, yeah, that sounds utterly, utterly unenforceable. As far as the legislative activity that's required to undo some of this, what are the legislative prospects for these bills? Are more likely to pass than fail? Is it a mixed bag? Is it unpredictable?
It's somewhat of a mixed bag, but there has been a lot of momentum lately. Just last week or the week before, the House and Senate both passed several bills relating to these, beer, wine, and liquor regulations. You know, most of them have not made it to Governor Snyder yet, but there seems to be momentum on that. A handful of the occupational deregulation bills have gone through. Out of the 18 occupations they're looking at, some there have not even been bills drafted yet, or at least not introduced. So in that case, it's a mixed bag, but I think some of these do look like they will be going through. So it's so wide-reaching that it's hard to generalize.
Exactly. You stir up an awful lot, I think, when you look at all of these rules. There's thousands and thousands of them. What are you working on today?
Well, today the University of Michigan has a research on quantitative economics, and some of their top economists there come out a few times each year and give updates on how the U.S. and Michigan economy are doing and their forecasts. So I'm interested to hear what they think about how the Michigan economy will be faring in these next few years.
Very good. It's nice to have you here. Melissa Anders reports for MLive. We've been talking about streamlining Michigan's thousands of administrative rules. Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.